1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, welcome to the program. No guests today, but a lot to talk about. And we're going to start with Murray State basketball. Pretty good signee as yesterday, and today it was made official as Murray State did officially release this. But yesterday, first revealed by John Rothstein from CBS Sports, that Towson's Byron Hawkins will be transferring to Murray State. Now, generally, the Racers have had excellent success and results from these transfers. And based on this young man, it appears to be no exception when you just take a look at, T.J. Sapp, B.J. Jenkins, and the list on and on with youngsters that have really made significant impacts for the Racers. And right now it looks like Byron Hawkins might be the next one. He's 6'1". He is a guard. He averages 13.2 points per game as a sophomore at Towson. And that was second best in the team. I think it put him in the top. I think Dave has this in the release. Here we go. Played in 30 of the 31 games. He was 12th in the Colonial Athletic Conference. Very good conference, by the way. 12th in scoring, 67 assists, 36 turnovers. So obviously by that, not a point guard. And he also hit 56 threes, good free throw shooter, 77% at the stripe. Had some really terrific games last year against great competition, against Ole Miss. Hawkins, 28 points on 7 3-pointers. He also had 5 assists in that one. He had 24 points against Bradley and 23 points against Drexel. 614 points and 81 3-pointers in his 2 seasons at Towson. Hawkins originally from Fort Washington, Maryland. He will have to sit out 1 season, of course, to satisfy NCAA transfer rules, but he will have 2 years remaining, and this will soften the blow with the Racers losing some valuable seniors, and Bryce Jones will be right at the top of that list, and you would think that Hawkins would be a guy that could just slide right in there. Because based on what I know from the Racers, Jones is the kind of guy that will probably give you about that 10, 11, 12, 13-point-per-game mark. Also, as you know, Jones is a fabulous free-throw shooter, and Hawkins seems to be following in his footsteps there. Anytime a guy can at least flirt with 80% or better, as Bryce Jones has, then you know that you're in for it. The thing that is really impressive is he's a guy that gets to work out of here. He's anxious to come here. It's a place that he wants to come. And I think he sees the avenue with some hard work to get some immediate playing time. There's plenty of film. You can go out and watch the kid play. It looks like a pretty good one. Not sure the reasons behind the transfer. Someday we'll maybe find out. But the thing that the Racers have done generally, they get good kids. They don't. At least in my knowledge, they don't have a lot of kids. They're given 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th chances to. Those are the kind of guys you want to definitely stay away from. And nowadays, used to, that was basically the reason that so many kids transferred was, they're in trouble, they're transferring. Well, now there's just so many. I mean, there's playing time, be closer to family. There's a million reasons. So many transfers out there that some of the reasons just, playing time, coaching change, a variety of reasons. But anyhow, it looks like the Racers get a really good one here. And next season will be interesting. Now, Murray still has 1 scholarship available. I would be shocked if they used it on another transfer. I would say now, this late in the season, here we are in May, I would think that they would probably lean towards not using it this year. But you never know. I haven't spoken with the coach. That's with no inside information. I haven't spoken with him the last couple of weeks. So they may or may not. As Matt tells me, when you ask him, so how's the recruiting going? Dead period, blah, blah, blah. Well, they recruit all the time. Now, they may not can actively recruit all the time, but if they're not actively recruiting, they are gathering information on recruiting. That is never illegal to do that part of it, but the direct contact and the being able to watch is. So I think fans are really be happy with what we see from the basketball team this next season. All right, let's move on to baseball, because tonight Murray State begins a critical three-game series against Morehead State, and essentially they need to finish better, one game better at least, than Tennessee Tech to get into the OVC tournament. The Racers are in seventh. Tennessee Tech is in sixth, the game up on Murray State. Murray owns the tiebreaker, so they need to catch them or pass them. And tonight they will get an opportunity to do just that, as Morehead State and Murray State will tangle at Reagan Field. The Racers 25-17-1 at home against the Eagles. The last time these teams met in Murray back in 2014, when the Racers took 2 of 3. The Eagles have one of the most potent offenses in the league and in the country, and they have 8 players hitting well above .300 on the season. So it's a really potent offense. Now, they do have a kind of a different field there, where the offense usually comes by a little quicker, but make no bones about it, they can go on the road and hit it well too. So I'm not making any excuses, but sometimes the power numbers at Morehead State can get a bit skewed, and that goes for the teams playing there too. When I used to do baseball on the radio, you'd get up there, if that wind was blowing out to right field, fly balls, just routine fly balls, could turn into 3-run homers, and you could end up with a slugfest. But yeah, that's the beauty. To me, that's one of the things I like about baseball. Unlike football, unlike basketball, there are different dimensions, different challenges for different fields. Other than the diamond, you know, from home plate to the bases, you're going 90 feet. And beyond that, big backstops, short backstops, short porches in right, left, long porches, high fences, short fences. It's a part of what makes the game, to me, very interesting, is because to be a baseball player, you have to adjust to those kind of things. And it makes it a lot of fun. All right, here's tonight's pitching matchup. Ryan Dills will be on the hill for the Racers. 4-3, a 5.47 earned run average. The problem with Murray State this season overall has been the starting pitching. It has been somewhat better here in the last month or so, but still with some challenges. But Ryan Dills goes against Matt Anderson tonight. Anderson is terrific. He's the ace. This will be, of the three games to win, this one will be the toughest for the Racers. Anderson, a right-hander, he's 8-2 with a 2.69 earned run average. So this win will be a very difficult one tonight. And it's a spot where you don't want to lose this one and then have Tech win. Then you're 2 down and basically pretty much done for, to be brutally honest about that. In terms of passing them, you could still catch them, but you're at a spot then where you got to sweep 2 and hope Tech loses the next 2. Then coming up Friday night, it's Austin Dubski. Dubski 5-4 with a 4.96 earned run average. He's a righty. He'll go against left-hander Aaron Leisher. He is 5-3 with a 4.10 earned run average. And then Brad Bogle will get the ball in the finale on Saturday. 1-3 with a 6.96 earned run average, but Bogle has pitched much better lately, and that's kind of what you're in for. Sort of like with Adam Wainwright. Look at his stats. Yeah. Last night he was really good. Luke Humphreys, another right-hander for Morehead State, will be on the hill in Game 3, 5-4 with a 5.28 earned run average. So wish Murray State the best. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about their first trip to the OVC baseball tournament since 2010, when the tournament first moved to Jackson, Tennessee. We'll wait and see. High school softball yesterday, very light schedule as it usually is on Wednesdays during the regular season, but one game was played. The top-ranked team in the state, McCracken County, down Christian County 7-4. Today, the top-ranked team in the state, McCracken County, will be right here in Murray to face Murray High in a 5:30 game. Callaway County, meanwhile, they are off until Monday's 4th District Tournament game against the Murray High Lady Tigers. Both of our local teams return to the baseball diamond today, as Callaway County will play St. Mary in a 5 p.m. home game, and Murray High closes out the regular season with the home game against Paducah Tillman. A little more basketball news. Former Murray State standout TJ Sapp has been named LatinBasket.com Player of the Week. He's playing professionally in Colombia. And listen to this. This is one game now. Sapp had 36 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists for Bucaros in a 112-96 win over Halcones. Sapp is the league's leader in points, or in the league's top 10 in points, rather. He's third in the league, 22.9 a game. And he also averages 44% behind the arc and is making 62% from the field. So Sapp is absolutely lighting it up. Another transfer is on the way out for Kentucky. Kentucky's Charles Matthews, he's transferring. He'll be granted a full release with no restrictions. One of 4 Wildcats to play in every game for UK last season. Didn't stat a lot, though. 1.7 points, 1.6 rebounds per game. The annual Kentucky-Indiana High School All-Star Classic will take place in Louisville. Officials from the event announced that the scrimmages will feature the top high school players from both states and will be held at Bellarmine University June 12th. The girls' game at 1, the boys' game 30 minutes after the girls' game. The Cardinals in action last night and picked up a victory over the Rockies. And finally, they get a really, really good pitching performance from Adam Wainwright.
Last night, it was Adam Wainwright for 6 2/3 with no runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Kevin Segrist, an inning and a third, 0 in the hit column, 0 in the run column. He struck out 3. Trevor Rosenthal walked the first man he faced, struck out the next, and got a double play ball from DJ LeMahieu. The Cardinals beat the Rockies. The offense was provided in the third with 2 on and 1 out. Matt Holliday was at the plate. Ground ball fair inside the third base bag and down the left field line. That will get Carpenter home. Piscotty is being waved around. The throw comes in. The throw to the plate. Safe at the plate. The relay from Story just a shade late as Piscotty followed Carpenter home. For Holliday, RBIs number 36 and 37 against his old team. And the Cardinals even the series at a game apiece with a 2-0 victory. The rubber game in the series tonight will pit Michael Walker against right-hander John Gray. And we're on the air at 5:20. I'm John Rooney.
Thank you, John. A bit of an early start for tonight, as it many is on that third game. And 6:15, the first pitch for this game. A track pioneer who graduated from Tennessee State University has died in an auto accident. Mamie Rallins graduated from Tennessee State in 1976, and she competed in 2 Olympics in 1968 and in 1972. She was Ohio State's women's track coach for 18 years. Rallins was killed in a crash in Port Clinton, Ohio on Monday. She was 74 years old. And a former Vanderbilt University football player suing the school for negligence regarding concussions. 36-year-old Brandon Waltauer has filed suit against Vanderbilt, the SEC, and the NCAA. The suit claims reckless disregard for the safety of student-athletes after suffering with symptoms like migraines and memory loss linked to concussions. Officials with Vanderbilt did not comment on the suit. May end up seeing more of those. A lot of these, if they do occur, I would assume, will be kind of on a timeline. When did someone know this was bad? Because when I grew up, if you got hit on the head or bumped your head, they'd check you. If you weren't dizzy, didn't complain of headaches, everybody thought you were okay. And it was that way for a long time. It was further down the road. You know, that's recently, I guess, in the last decade or so, when we started seeing the evidence. And it seems like very solid evidence that those things tend to pile up on you and lead to other problems. If someone had that information and decided not to tell anyone about it, that's different. That's you know, with the NFL as it is now, to me, if you put all the information out there, say, here, we're going to play the game, we're going to do all we can to prevent concussions, and here's the risks. Just be as upfront as you can be. And if you would like to take those risks with us, here's what we will pay you. Here's what we'll do for you care-wise. But then you know the risks. But if you're keeping that information from somebody, then that's probably where you're going to get the basis for some of those suits. But I'm not a lawyer. We'll see how that plays out. I certainly do enjoy watching the game. And I'm not, you know, the violence end of it. I don't really like seeing guys get their back cracked or their necks cracked or anything like that. But I don't mind the hard-hitting action. I'm okay with that. I just want it played safely. But I love the game of football, love watching it. I didn't actually get to play on a team. My school didn't have football, but we played tons in the playground. We were idiots, played without helmets, without any sort of protection, just got out there and played most of the time tackle football, which nowadays you think, why would you do something like that? But, you know, 10-foot tall and bulletproof back in those days, you never thought of any sort of an injury, and most of us had something from a dislocated this to a broken that, and stuff that you might figure you might get if you play football without any sort of equipment. All right. It's going to wrap it up for today's show. Coming up, let's hope we have a good report from Murray State Baseball. We'll talk about that and more on Friday's edition of the Neil Bradley Show. Subscribe free via iTunes or catch it anytime you want at 1340WNBS.com. Click on Sports, and it's right on the drop-down menu.